This is Inside Sports.
Sashi Mamla, the first South African to get 300 in a test match. Your country salutes you.
Inside the News.
It's a really good ball. It's Shabalala.
Inside the updates.
Zeya Kolisi and South Africa are rugby World Cup kings in Japan.
Inside Sport.
Assalamu alaikum and a very good evening. You're listening to Inside Sport, exclusive to the Voice of the Cape, where we cover all the latest news and chat to past and present sports stars as well. I'm your host, Feroz Sheikh. My tech tonight is Nazim Peterson. We're talking football tonight. My guest is the former Santos midfielder, Donovan Ronnie. But before I chat to Donnie, as he's known, let's catch up with the latest news. Now, there were matches in the Premier League today. One just kicked off, or is kicking off at the moment, a couple of minutes' time, actually, at 8:15. Leicester playing Aston Villa at the King Power. Some of the results from earlier on, Sheffield United and Fulham play to a 1-1 draw. Crystal Palace and Brighton also play to a 1-1 draw. And Tottenham and West Ham, what an exciting finish that one, finishing 3-3 that match there. Now, there were wins for Kaizer Chiefs and Bloem Celtic in the MTN 8. Chiefs beating Maritzburg United 2-1. Sundowns, well, they were lost there. Bloem Celtic upsetting them 1-0 there to Bloem Celtic. And there was a doubleheader in the IPL as well. I think both is going into a super over. The first one, the Sunrise Hyderabad losing to the Kolkata Knight Riders there. Both of them finishing on 164. That went into the super over. Sunrise only made two runs. Knight Riders winning that one. And the match at the moment, Mumbai Indians and the Kings 11 Punjab, that match has just finished. I'm just looking at the score on ESPN Cricket Info. It says 176 Mumbai Indians, 176 Kings 11 Punjab. So it seems like that match is going into a super over as well. So the IPL definitely hotting up there. Now, time to say a very good evening to Donovan Ronnie. Thanks for joining me tonight on Voice of the Cape.
Good evening, Feroz. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's only a pleasure. It's only a pleasure, Donnie. Now, you can join the conversation as well. You can call 021-442-3530 or WhatsApp 072-238-0712 for any comments or questions to Donovan Ronnie. Donnie, where did it all begin for you as a footballer? Was football firstly your sport of choice?
Yes, it was. I was born in Claremont. And we were moved to Heidelberg in 1966 due to the Groep Eredivisie Act. My brother, my eldest brother, was playing for Wolves Football Club at that time. And it was just a natural progression that I would join them as well. And I played my first game I was 8 years old. The last game of the season, I played in the under-12 B team, not registered or anything. Mm. I scored 4 goals and I haven't looked back.
Were you always a midfielder, Donny? Now, I say that you're one of your former teammates, Keith America, says that you were great on one-on-one situations and had great ball skills. So were you, you just mentioned now you scored many, many goals. So were you always a midfielder?
No. When I started playing football, the formation was 5-3-2. And five forwards, 3 midfielders and 2 defenders. So I started as a inside right, most probably, as inside right and a right wing. So I was more of a forward, and as progress, I think I became a right midfielder.
And how did that, would someone put you into midfield, or did it automatically happen?
I think it automatically happened because of me being a winger. Although I wasn't a very defensive midfielder, I was more the attacking one. And while at Santos, the great thing is I had a great right back, Rashad David, who gave me free rein to attack, and you do all my defending. Mm. So that was good.
I got a message here from Ian Southgate, former Batswit player. He said he had the honor of playing with the Donny for CFDA. So what was CFDA?
That was the Cape District Football Association. That was our ball team at Wynberg.
All right. So he says he played against him for many years. What a player, in my opinion. He was born too early to represent South Africa. Donny had dribbling skills and pace second to none. One of the most difficult opponents I've had to face in my playing days. A truly great player and a good friend. So, you know, great to be recognized by fellow players.
Yeah, thanks, Ian. We had some great battles. Ian playing, obviously, centre-back for Batswood, and then becoming teammates in the ball team. And the nice thing that I've played in that era is that we are still friends. While when we went on that field, there was no friends. You know, but when we walked off, we were friends, and we still are friends.
Well, that's how it should be, right? You fight hard on the field, and off the field, you're friends. Now, Donnie, did you have any role models that you wanted to play like, or did you just want to, you know, play the way you wanted to play?
Okay, now I definitely had a role model, and Kevin Keegan. And after him, Kenny Dalglish were the two players that I idolized.
So I take it you're a Liverpool fan, right?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
And then locally, any role models?
Locally, I think at that stage, when I was growing up, there wasn't as much soccer as there is now. And so, yes, my dad took us to go and watch Cape Town City that time in Hellenic play, because he was with St. John's and I would always go with him. But I don't really remember having a local role model. I definitely, being a right wing, Kevin Keegan, I loved him. Really.
Well, he was a star. I mean, I remember watching him as well. He was absolutely phenomenal. Now, you obviously played for the people's team. Santos, how did you get your break to play in the pro ranks?
Okay, I was playing for Sinton at the time when Santos started in 1982. Stayed in Edelfeld. The team was literally, the headquarters was a street away from where I stayed. And the first manager was Neville Trout, who had been my manager at Wolves. And they had open trials, and I went to the trials at Santos on the field at Edelfeld. And that's how I started. I played 1 year, and then I left after 1 year, and I went back 2 years, 3 years later again.
So you played 1 year professional, then you went to the amateur ranks.
Back to the amateur again, yes.
And which team did you join in the amateur ranks before coming back to Santos?
In the amateur ranks, I went back to Sinton, and then I was with Wolves, and then I went back to the...
Before we talk about some of your highlights with Santos, let's talk about some of your highlights in the amateur ranks with some of the teams you played
for. Okay, I played for Wolves as a junior. I started at 9 years old. And I left Wolves when I was 19. I then went to Sinton. I played with Sinton. Won many junior awards, Player of the Year, highest goal scorer and that. And I also represented Cape District Board. I made my senior debut at 15 for Wolves. I remember being kicked on Cape District A field quite a bit. Because then you were playing against much older guys. Luckily for me, we had some good defenders who protected me.
Yeah,
I learned how to jump, by the way. that was the only way I could protect myself. And then I represented Cape District, and I represented Western Province as well. Won, I think it was 3 or 4 inter-district finals with Cape District. That's where I played with most of the bachelor guys.
Okay. Now, if I remember as well, back in the day, I mean, you talk about jumping, and not many players had wore shin pads as well, and a lot of them played with their socks to their to their almost just above their ankles. Were you one of those guys?
100%. 100%. I've got lots of photos.
Now, was it difficult to wear shin guards? I mean, now it's a rule, right? You have to wear it now. Yeah. Back then, was it, why did you guys not or choose not to use it?
Well, I think for me, it was just shin guards were, back in the day, was very bulky. It's not as it is now. Yes. We have the small little things. We had bulky stuff, and I always thought that the shin guards was going to slow me down. So I wasn't interested in playing with shin guards, and the shins are not too bad. I don't have too many marks on the shins.
That's why the jumping came in handy. Now, Santos won the league on many occasions, Donnie, and I'm sure you were one of the winners there on many occasions as well. 83, 84, 86, 87, 88, and 90. You guys dominated the FPL as well as cup winners, 85, 88, and 90 as well. Now, you're part of a very, very strong and successful team. Can you share some of those highlights with us, with Santos?
Yeah, look, Santos, we... Initially, we never got our, we lost two finals or three finals in a row, and eventually we won our first one. When the first final that Santos won, I played as a guest player. And unfortunately, my last, you allowed 6 games for this season. My last game was the semi-final, and I never got to play that final, the first final they won in Durban against Chelsea. But after that, I was part of the Treble Wedding team in 88, which was... there's just so many memories, and those cup finals are... playing in a packed Curry's Fountain. I scored the equaliser in the last 25 seconds to equalise the game. Yeah, so there's so many memories.
Fantastic. Donnie, we'll come back to that. We're just going to take a sound break and we'll come back to our chat.
Okay, it's a pleasure.
This is Inside Sports.
Assalamu alaikum. Just gone 26 minutes past 8. You're listening to Inside Sport on Voice of the Cape. My guest tonight is the former bats with Santos. My apologies, Donny. Santos midfielder, Donny Roddy. Now, before the break, Donny, we're chatting about Santos dominating in the FPL, winning the league 83, 84, 86, 87, 88, and 90, as well as cup winners. I would say you are part of a very successful team. Can you share some of those highlights with us?
Yeah, like I said earlier, the 88 season was a real highlight with us doing the treble. It's actually Desmond Crowe won the Player of the Year that year, and I thought I was in line for that. I thought I'd played very well that year. I eventually won it in 1990, which was, I suppose, it was the last year of Federation, so in a sense, I'm the last FPL Player of the Year. The cup finals were real magical things. I had lots of lovely, lovely memories. Played with great guys, formed friendships for life. Incidentally, I'd just like to wish Steven Hendricks, our central defender, a happy birthday for today. I thought I'll just throw that in. traveling and just the wherever we played, be it Johannesburg, Pretoria, Durban, Pietermaritzburg, the reception we received there was always great. The referees didn't receive us so well, but that's another story. but as memories, I think, you know, I'll never lose them.
No, fantastic. So you were the final Player of the Year in the FPL era.
Yeah.
So what did you get for winning the Federation Player of the Year? Can you still remember that?
I think it was a... 1,000 rand.
That was a lot of money back then.
It was in 1990. I think it was 1,000 rand. I don't even know if I got all the money. But
no trophies or anything?
Yes, I got a trophy.
I hope you still have
it, by the way. A big keepsake. Yes, I do. In fact, the big trophy and the keepsake. I still have it, yes. Yeah.
Fantastic. Now, as a midfielder, you obviously scored lots of goals, I believe, as well. Any special goals that stand out for you?
Yes, I think the one that really stands out was the knockout final in 1988. When we played against Tongaat Crusaders, they were leading us 1-0. And I scored the equaliser with 25 seconds to go. And I know it's 25 seconds because the referee actually told me before they sent it. He said, "Can you see? There was 25 seconds left." And the game into extra time, we drew that game, and the following week we went back and we beat them 5-2 in the replay. That was a special goal, and then I have one really special goal. I, in fact, just read the write-up tonight, earlier this afternoon. It was against Chelsea at the in Bosman. I'm just trying to think of the Longdale. I'm not sure of the stadium's name now. Longkloof in Longkloof Road. Anyway, we played against Chelsea and they had us under the cosh, and Owen Fredericks was the left back, and he just about told me everything that I needed to know about my mother and everybody else. And I was 22, 23, and Owen was much older than me. But I hit a shot basically from the goal line, which got stuck behind the stanchion. You know, the guys who thought the ball had gone behind, had actually gone in the near post. And I ran straight to Owen. And subsequently, we became the best of friends.
Fantastic. But at least something good came out of that.
Yeah. Because Chelsea was, they had some pretty mean guys. And of course, we were a pretty young team.
Yeah.
It was in our first year. So I think I was 22.
So we had some very interesting conversations off air. I'd just like you to share that for some of our listeners in terms of what was it like traveling as a professional player back then? There weren't flights really. I think maybe in the late, towards the end that you guys had to take planes. But prior to that, it was traveling from Cape Town to Durban on the N1 most of the time. And then obviously, for example, if you guys had to go to Durban, you'd had to reach there on a Friday because you'd play a Friday night game in maybe Peter Maritzburg, and then you had to play a Sunday game in Durban because of financial implications. You had to play two games instead of going back and forth. And obviously, some of the places you visited, they were chatting about the places you ate and things like that. Just share some of those memories with us.
Yeah, the first year I played for Santos, we did a couple of trips by bus. It was Chilwin Santos. When I went back in 86, it was Lightbody Santos. And our traveling, just to give an example, if we played in Durban over the weekend, I would go to work on the Friday morning, and I would be picked up from work. Rodney Tace was a teacher at Harold Cressy. Rodney Tace would come and pick me up, and we must probably have a flight at about 11 from Cape Town to Durban. And then the flight was not direct to Durban. You'd go via East London or Port Elizabeth or Bloemfontein. We'd get to Durban, we'd have to hire the combi and the car, and we'd drive down to Peter Maritzburg. We'd play the Friday evening, and of course we'd only have a squad of about 13 or 14, so you better not get injured on the Friday night, because I can tell you we've had to fix each other up, and of course we had no Messiah going with us or anything. Yeah. We'd play the Friday night, we'd travel back to Durban, go into those... what was it? Those 5-star hotels, but the stars had all fallen off already from those hotels. Saturday morning would be Indian market. Mm. That would normally be
that was like your outing.
That was
the
outing
before the match.
Before the match, and of course, then we'd normally get 10 or 15 rand that before our supper. We had to sort ourselves out, so we'd go and eat as much as you like, curry down the road or something. Sunday we'd play again, either in Tongaat or in Durban, and we'd go back to the airport. To save money, they used to have a midnight flight or early morning flight, and on many occasions we'd take that flight, get back to Cape Town, and go to work the Monday morning again.
Sure.
Joburg was slightly different because we played the Saturday and the Sunday, so then we'd fly the Saturday morning, travel through to Vereeniging or Pretoria, and then of course the Sunday game play, and of course back to the airport from there.
So as Cape Townians going up to Durban, was the Durban curries never affected your play at all? You guys enjoyed the Durban curries?
I don't know if the Durban curry made us run. It did make some of us run. I won't say to where, but for us, the Durban curry, the mild was too strong most of the time, but of course, you know, we needed to eat, so, and that was the cheapest thing that you could get, especially when they had eat as much as you like for $9.99.
No, absolutely. Now, was there any team as well? There would have been teams that gave you guys a hard time. Was there any team that stood out there? Besides the team, was there any players that you had, you know, good battles with on the field?
Yeah, in Durban, in Peter Maritzburg, we had Real Touch. There was Lionel Mabas, Big Chetty, Michael Nachali, James Jubilani, defender, and I sort of know the guy who had play opposite.
Yeah.
Really gave us, in fact, they were the team initially, especially in the cup. In the league, we'd always beat them, but cup matches, I think they beat us in 3 finals in Chile until we finally overcame them. Mm. But I remember them fondly, and as I was sharing, Big Chetty I met. Well, in fact, the late Big Chetty I met was probably about 4 years ago. Mm. And it was so nice, again, chatting to him and just reminiscing, and actually just the mutual admiration that we had for each other, which we missed while in our playing days.
Yeah.
You know, that we could catch up and actually just compliment each other on how we played. Manning Rangers, we didn't have a problem with in Durban. Chelsea was also quite tough in Johannesburg.
Mm.
But in Durban, Berea also used to give us quite a run for our money up there.
And what about going up to Watson Park playing Crusaders?
Watson Park was a lovely...
small atmosphere.
Lovely atmosphere. But I think I've lost once at Watson Park. Didn't do too bad there. Mm. But my all-time favorite is the Unit 3B ground in Chatsworth. Mm. You'd walk down onto that field, down the stairs, in between the crutches, you have the sea of spectators. But a real great atmosphere.
Yeah. Just to give the listeners an idea, I remember when Duncan was on air and we spoke about that. You'd have your dressing room. There was like a narrow road which separated the actual field from the dressing room. It was the old municipal-style dressing rooms. Then you had to walk over the road, basically. Yeah. Then you get to the top, and you'd walk down because the ground was in the bottom.
In the bottom, yes.
And you walk in between the crowd.
In between the crowd, yeah. You have this crowd. People all shout. And most times when we got there, when we went down to the field, we'd get lots of jeers and that, but I can honestly say when that game was on and by the time we finished, we had quite a few supporters there. And that's why I've always loved that game. I've never lost at that field. Scored quite a few goals there as well. So I really have lovely memories of that field.
Well, I can tell you, Donnie, that as a former Durbanite, the Durbanites loved the Capetonians coming there. They loved watching you guys play. Talking about those fields, let's talk about some of the atmosphere in the grounds. Let's start off with Athlone here and then Curry's Fountain and some of the other grounds. Mm. What was the atmosphere like playing in these grounds?
I think Athlone Stadium, back in the day, the crowds weren't as bad, but... Really, Unit 3B, you'd get the biggest crowd. Mm. That's always been the biggest crowd. Curry's Fountain, we started playing at Curry's Fountain. Well, when I started playing, Curry's Fountain was almost been closed. It wasn't as
popular as it was
okay. When Cape Town Spurs played. Mm. Incidentally, I had an opportunity to sign for Cape Town Spurs, and if I should just add that now.
Yeah, absolutely. Add it.
I got selected for the Western Province team in 1981 after we had played a friendly for Cape District against Cape Town Spurs at William Herbert. Mm-hmm. I had a blind over game, and the next thing that I was a provincial team, and I was in the provincial team. We played, incidentally, the tournament that year was in Durban. The funny thing is, I was selected. The game we played was a Tuesday night. It was under floodlights. Of course, I still used to wear specs at that stage.
While playing.
Mm. We got to Durban, and a lot of our games were at night. And the manager at the time, Gani Tembe, felt that with my spectacles, it wouldn't be good for me to play under floodlights, which I found very strange because it selected me after watching me play under floodlights. And that very week, Cape Town Spurs played in Durban as well. And they actually approached me and they wanted to sign me. Of course, coming home, spoke to my parents. My mother was not interested. And so, yes, I missed the opportunity of going to play for Cape Town Spurs. And 2 years later, when Santos came knocking, I told her I need to go and try. Yeah. I can't let this opportunity pass me by. So, yeah, that was just a little bit of an advert there. And then the Northdale Stadium was also a very nice stadium to play at. Very hard ground. Crowd was very unforgiving as well. Mm. But always it was good. I enjoyed us going there and playing.
Donnie, we're just going to, before we take an ad break, I just got a message here from Adib Abrams. He says, Salam Firoz. Donnie was a gifted attacking midfielder, and we had a great, we had memorable battles. Had the honor of playing against him and with him in provincial and district teams. A caring individual and a good friend. That's a good thing, like you said earlier. Yeah. You guys battle on the field and then friends off the field,
yes.
Which is brilliant. We're going to take a quick ad break and we'll continue our discussion after this.
Okay, thanks.
This is Inside Sports.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inside Sport. My guest tonight is Donny Ronnie, the former Santos midfielder, chatting to me tonight. Donny, we just got a message we read from Adib Abrams. I want to talk about the Cape Derbies now. Obviously, Batswood came into the FPL rather late, and obviously they dominated when they came in, 88, 89, around there. What was the rivalry and the derby matches like at Athlone Stadium when you guys took on each other?
Yeah. Just before them, we had Glenin as well. So we had, in Santos and Glen, that was the Cape Derby, which was always really about bragging, right? And then, of course, Batswood came and they were the new boys on the block. And so it was always tough. For me, it was tough because I had played with and against a lot of those guys. And so you always wanted to put one over them, you know? But we had great battles. Roger Lings, Vincent Barnes, Oscar Lehmann, Ian Southgate, Adib, all real great battles. And like I said earlier, the great thing is we meet each other in the street and we can talk to each other and we can reminisce about those games. The crowd, I think Batchard, when they came in, they actually brought in more supporters.
So I was just about to ask, who had the more fans? They almost, the Derby
I would think they almost had more fans than us. I don't know, I might be wrong. But I think honors was sort of even. If I take over the amount of times you played against each other, I think it was almost even who won as much and drew and whatever. We played against Batchard the year before they came into the federation, and then they used to have the Benson and Edges Pro Am tournament at the beginning of the season, and we played against him. We used to play against him then. We beat them on two occasions in that tournament. And then, of course, but there was always a rivalry. There was always real fierce battles. And derbies, as derbies go, you're not always going to get the good football because nobody wants to lose.
Absolutely. <You know? laughs> Absolutely. By the way, did you score any through Adib?
Yes, I did. I did actually. Not in the pro league. It was when we played in the pro am tournament. I always remember one Batchard supporter coming to me and said, "You let our goalkeeper crawl." I said, "I'm sorry, it wasn't intentional, but I had to make sure I scored the goal."
Now, Donny, you also played in the SACOS team. I think it was 88, if I'm not mistaken, and it was SASF, South African Soccer Federation Pro 11, taking on the SAFA Amateur 11 that was in Cape Town. That must have been also a huge honor for you as well, representing that SACOS team. I think some of the players in the team also included likes of Duncan Crowe as well in the team.
Yes. Yeah, that was in 88. And the funny thing is, it was Easter Monday when that game was played. And I remember that because Santos had actually gone up to Port Elizabeth to play in the tournament in Port Elizabeth. Mm. And we actually played that morning still in Port Elizabeth. We lost on penalties. Yeah, I missed one of the penalties as well that morning. And then they had to rush us to the airport, and we flew down to Cape Town. And we had a training session in the afternoon because the guys of Chris Fortein, Isaac de Jong, some of the Joburg guys had come down, Durban guys. And we had a training session. We played that evening. A real great game.
Just one session before you played?
Just one session before we played. And we won in extra time. They actually had the game into extra time. We won 2-1. Great amateur team that they had. Leonard Gregory, one of the top players of that played for Real Touch as well, was playing amateur at the time. Adib was in the amateur team as well. So it was packed. And of course it was SACOS for us, non-racial sport. Mm. That was such a big honor.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And I to this day still have my tracksuit.
Well, I was about to ask you, I remember it was orange and black, was it?
Orange and black, yes.
That was the colors back then.
SACOS 88.
No, absolutely. Yeah. That was like representing your country type of thing.
Yes, yes, yeah, 100%.
Fantastic.
And, you know, it's for me as a player, having upheld the non-racial principles, it was a real... something that I'm very proud of. At no stage did I ever consider defecting or or sacrificing or more wanting to gain for myself.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Now, you call Superfit Don Ronnie. Has that being Superfit always been part of your makeup? Or how did come about?
That's actually a long story. I don't think the listeners would like to hear that story. I was never on Facebook. Like I said, it's a long story, so we won't go into that.
Okay.
I try and keep active. I'm not as fit as I used to be. Still trying to run around and play some football now. Mm. I enjoy hiking now, though, so that keeps me busy. And a bit of golf. But, you know, we still imagine we can run and play.
Well, you are still playing, right?
Yes, I am still playing. I haven't progressed to walking football yet. I'm trying to delay that as long as possible. But I do walk on the field when I do play now. Yeah. So, yeah.
You just let the ball do the talking. Absolutely.
Yeah, hopefully.
Slowly. Now, with Unity in 1991 and Santos going into the NSL at that time, did you continue with them? And if so, for how long?
No, in Unity in 1991, I in fact got married in 1990, and I made a commitment to the Lord in 1990. And the funny thing is, when 91 preseason started, I just had no inclination to go back to play. And I stopped while I went back to play an amateur, and 2 years later I went back to Santos. I do have one goal in the NSL, the then NSL, against Bloemfontein Celtic. But that I didn't even complete a full season, and then I just stopped. The desire just wasn't anymore. I was 33 at the time, and I suppose I could have played longer. Mm. Didn't smoke or drink, so I think I could have still gone on, but it just wasn't that desire. It wasn't as important as it had previously been.
Sure. Just before we take our final ad break, Donnie, I got another message here from Manny David who says, Donnie, Ronnie, a great ambassador. Believe it or not, but he can still play. I'm sure he can, Manny. He's just trying to be a bit... now, I know the feel is about Donnie, Ronnie, but please, can you ask him something about his son, Jason? How did Jason do with his soccer across the sea? And also doing... Also, Donnie playing for Santos, what was their biggest score in a game?
Yesterday.
Maybe we'll continue that after the break.
I can think about that.
The Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM Stereo.
Mumbai Cafe, a culinary delight for all taste buds, is still situated in the heart of Rylands, where you can indulge in a delightful variety of food from tandoor to Indokong, hearts with the grills tikka with the best garlic naan and creamy buttered chicken. Jumma's special biryani for only 45 rand a portion from 12 noon until 3 p.m. Download our app to order and pick up your food. Mumbai Cafe, now situated at shop number 5, Royka Center, corner of Klipfontein Road. Contact 021-637-9486. BuyFresh is an online grocery delivery service like no other, delivering farm fresh, locally sourced and quality groceries straight to your door. Our products are sourced from the very best local farmers and food brands and packaged at our new halal facilities in Cape Town. Simply use our smart shopping filters to see only certified halal products in each category. Everything from meat and fish to seasonal veggies, fruit, artisanal bread, dairy, pantry staples, and refreshments. We've got it all at an affordable price. Head to buyfresh.co.za, use the code VOC100 to get 100 Rand off your first order and receive one of our famous orange cooler bags for free. Buy Fresh. Making healthy living easy.
Sally and Sally Attorneys, specializing in all property-related transfers, bond registrations, divorce transfers, litigation, and winding up of deceased estates. Trust us to look after your legal needs. Contact Abdullah Sally, Asya Sally, or Ayaz Kamruddin at 021-697-2093 or visit us at 169 Taronga Road, Crawford. Sally and Sally Attorneys, where trust is everything.
My radio station. Your radio station, our radio station, the Voice of the Cape.
This is Inside Sports.
We can, I don't.
Okay, welcome back. It's just gone 10 to 9 now. We're chatting to Donovan Ronnie, the former Donnie, my apologies to all the Santos fans out there, Santos midfielder, Donovan Ronnie. Donnie, we had this question from Manny Davids, who says, can you ask you about your son's ventures overseas? And, of course, what was the biggest score in the game for Santos? Let's start with the first one about your son.
Okay, my son, I have two sons, Michael and Jason. Michael had the opportunity to play professional football in Mauritius for one season. And Jason then, the following year, got a scholarship to go to America at Rhode Island University. He also stayed there 1 year, and then he came back. He wasn't in the coach's plans for the following year. So he came back, completed his studies, he's working now, and he's playing Castle League for Goal 50. Both of them are playing Castle League at the moment for Goal 50.
Fantastic.
I think they both can play a bit of soccer, but I might be a bit biased in that.
Just a little bit, it's okay.
The highest score Santos, I can't remember. I don't think it was more than six. I don't think it was more than six.
Okay, as far as I can remember. Can you remember who it was against?
That's even going to be difficult.
Okay, no, that's fine.
Sorry, Manny. I'll have to go check up in my if I've got the write-up or something about that.
Okay, Manny, we hope we've helped in some sort of way there. At least you got the answers about Donnie's sons there. Donnie, obviously after your playing days, like many other former footballers, you went into coaching. Now I believe you are at an academy with another former Santos legend, Jean-Marc Etier. Tell us about that.
Yeah, in 8 years ago, Jean-Marc approached me and said he wants to start an academy if I'd like to assist. And myself and Andre Alexander, also a former Santos player, joined him at this academy. And we had a five-year plan what we wanted to do. Incidentally, Jason, my son, went over to France through the club for trials there, which we then discovered was he was 17 years old. He needed to actually go when you were 15, because when he got to France, the youngsters in the academy, they had already been two years with the academy there, and they train twice a day. And South Africa, unfortunately, we train twice a week. You know, so there was a big gap, and ability alone wasn't going to help you. So the idea of Jean-Marc's academy was to prepare boys and get them to get trials overseas. It's tough. Unfortunately, I find a big problem we have with our kids, and I don't say it's all of them, but hard work is really a problem, and we're just so used to getting things so easily. So the moment there's a bit of hard work involved, the boys just shirk and they pull back. A lot of them believe if they can do a shibobo or do a trick, that's what's going to, you know,
get them
yeah. through. And unfortunately, it's hard work. More than anything, it's always going to be that's going to take you there. So, funding is also just a major issue. You know, because with anything you want to do, you need to have funding. And so that is a big problem. But we battle on and we try, and we're hoping we're making a difference in the boys that are there.
No, fantastic. Donovan Ronnie, thanks for chatting to us tonight on The Voice of the Cape. It's been an absolute pleasure having you. Just before I go, just a quick update from the Leicester City-Aston Villa game. It's 39 minutes into that match there. It's still goalless as well. Well, that's it from me. I hope you enjoyed another fantastic edition of Inside Sport. I'll be back with more sporting news on the drive time from Monday to Friday. From me, Firoz Sheikh, have a lovely evening. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you.
Of the Cape, 91.3 FM stereo.
My radio station, your radio station, our radio station, the voice of the Cape.